What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Black by Popular Demand. My name is CJ, and today we're going to be talking about just a little bit of what's going on. We're going to be covering why it's been so long since I posted an episode. We're going to be talking about a couple other things here, too. So let's go ahead and dive into it. So a lot of people, if you follow me on social media and everything, you kind of know what was going on. But, I mean, I don't mind diving back into it. One of the bigger things here was I actually ended up catching COVID. And I think I want to focus less on the why I caught COVID and more upon like what it was like. Because people have asked me questions about COVID, and it's just like, you know, you already have your opinions on vaccines and everything like that, but it's a way different perspective once you actually catch COVID. And, you know, your life hangs in the balance. So, starting off, of course, I had the typical symptoms. You know, headache, sore throat, I had a fever. In my situation, I actually, I had nosebleeds. So, I ended up calling out, long story short, I was diagnosed with COVID. A lot of people have asked me, like, how do I feel about vaccines even after the fact? And I'm going to be honest with you, even after catching COVID, and like, my life was in the balance. I could have lost my life, of course. My blood pressure dipped too low. It had got to the point where I couldn't even take like Tylenol or anything like that. Like, I couldn't take medicine at all. One of the bigger things here will be just, you have to, and I mean have to, you got to be careful. You definitely got to wear your mask and everything like that out here. It's a serious ass thing. This shit killing people, bro. Like, just on the real, it's killing folks out here. And I don't think people really understand how serious it is. So, like, I kind of get pissed off when I see, and it's certain people that do it. It's not a lot of people. When people say this shit fake, like, bro, nah, this shit very real. My mom had it, my dad had it, and then finally it was me who caught it. It's serious, bro. Real talk. And I think one of the bigger things is when we talk about the vaccine and stuff like that, you got people out here, they're still passing away when they get the vaccine and they still catch it. And people are quick to say, with a lot of these metrics that they're using to measure COVID, I have to remind people all the time that these stats are skewered. And they're, in the world we live in today, it's a lot of fear mongering. A lot of, I can manipulate stats to make something look like what it's not. Which, it could still be bad, but I'm going to make it look worse. Because people have just always ran this notion that numbers don't lie, and numbers can be manipulated to not necessarily lie, but not necessarily tell the truth, right? So, for example, I'm going to tell you one stat that is misconstrued all the time because people don't care. When people say numbers don't lie, they don't want to talk about context of the numbers. One of the bigger things for me is they say such and such amount of people have died from COVID that are unvaccinated. Here's what they're not telling you about this stat. You have to be fully vaccinated, as in you have to have all of the shots. Now, why this is a problem is, what if someone, okay, I get the vaccine, right? And knock on wood, I die within the next 2 weeks. They're going to consider me unvaccinated, but here's the thing. What if I was planning to go get the second dose, you know, whenever my time's up? I think it's a 3 to 4 month wait period. What if I just didn't make it to that second dose, but I catch COVID anyway and I pass away? You consider me unvaccinated, and you're comparing that to someone who you know, they may not have thought about getting a needle. They may not have thought about getting the vaccine or whatever. And it's like, that's not the same. And that's what I have an issue with statistics in general when they deal with anything like, I guess you could say vaccines and stuff like that. Because this is one of the only times I've kind of seen it manipulated for this. But most of the time where I see numbers and statistics manipulated is like crime. One of the biggest things where stats are manipulated is black on black crime. There's no such thing as black on black crime. You're not, you know what I'm saying? When crime occurs, you're not going to beat up some, like, they're not going to rob them or beat them up or kill them because they're black. Like, that's the very last reason. That doesn't make sense. And it's like, that doesn't exist for any other race besides the black community and the black people, African-American people. It doesn't exist for anyone else. You don't ever hear some shit like white-on-white crime or any other crime in particular. Another stat where it's misconstrued is, oh, black people are at a high, commit crimes at a higher rate. I mean, you could say they get convicted. Probably, yeah. And does that say more about a race, or does it say more about the system? Because we all have equal opportunity. It's like, when people make these stats out, they're like inherently being racist. Like, they're trying to be very, very undercover with how racist they are. It's like you're trying to say, well, the numbers show you guys are more violent than any other race. Okay. And the quickest way I shut that argument up is I go, how many black serial killers have you, how many black famous serial killers have you ever heard of? I've genuinely never heard of a black kid shooting the school up. I've never heard of some black guy chopping up body parts and putting them in his fridge. You know, like, this is the type of shit that I'd be talking about where numbers without context. And I say this shit for everything. Numbers without context don't mean a goddamn thing. They don't. Like, they're just a way for you to shit on another race or shit on a person. You have to give the context of a situation. For example, in sports, basketball, you can't be like, oh, well, Russell Westbrook is shooting a higher field goal percentage than Steph. Well, 90% of Russell Westbrook's attempts have came in the restricted area because he doesn't shoot much. Steph is taking shots from all three levels. He's taking mid-range, he's taking layups, he's taking threes. So the fact that Russ's points are exclusively coming from one area of the scoring region, and he's only shooting like 1% more, and we know he's attempting more layups, what does that say about him? You're 50-50 on layups? Okay. Steph can live with that, because when it comes down to it, this is one of Russ's best years shooting the ball. Meanwhile, this is one of Steph's worst. If your best is my worst day, like, what are we really saying here? I say all that to say, just numbers when it comes to COVID, a lot of them just don't have the context that's necessary. They don't. And people eat these numbers up, and it's almost like, prior to COVID, if I didn't have a flu vaccine, like if I didn't have a vaccine and the flu, no one gave a damn. But it's like people keep trying to blame the unvaccinated for certain shit that happens. And then it's like somewhere along the line of like 2019, 2020, a lot of respect and boundaries were crossed. But we're going to cover that in the next segment. But I feel like there's a lot of things that became okay in the tail end of Trump's presidency. And all of it's not because of him, and I can't even be disingenuous and say it is. But a lot of things changed right around the time, you know, this guy was getting ready to get out the office. But, of course, we're going to go into that in the next segment, I do appreciate you guys for listening. If you'll give me just a few moments here, we're going to go ahead and dive into this next section. Thank you. All right, so let's talk about boundaries. And when I want to talk, when I talk about boundaries, I don't want to kind of generalize it into one thing. I want to generalize it just in general with society. So I won't be a person that will pretend like fully set boundaries have always been honored, because as we know, especially as Black people, right, we understand that our boundaries have been violated for years. Like, we don't get that choice. But what I'm referring to today is, it's really hard to just kind of get into it because you just have to see it on your own. There's a lot of lack of boundaries for a lot of things. Social media, just because of the era it's at now, it gives people the platform, such as me, myself, to speak on things that a lot of people shouldn't really speak on. And again, I fall victim to this on social media all the time, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook. Sometimes we all just want our opinion heard, and it's not always necessarily like asked for. But I want to say around that 2019, 2020 era, there was a lot of boundary overstepping that was okay. We got this situation where, let's cover the racial aspect of it first. A lot of, in 2019 and 2020, there were a lot of Caucasian people telling Black people how they should react to certain things. And it amazed me because it's just like, you've never walked a foot in my shoes. You've never walked a mile in my shoes. So how can you tell me how I should feel about someone being openly and inherently racist to me? Like, and that was one part of the damn election that I hated. Because how could Joe Biden say, oh, if you don't vote for me, you ain't Black. You've never been Black a day in your life. There is absolutely nothing you could tell me about being Black. Nothing. You don't get those looks when you walk into a store by an older white lady of her clutching her purse. You don't get those looks. You don't get those looks from other people where they just look at you, they see your skin color, and they're just like, oh, another Black guy with dreads. You don't get those looks. You don't know what it's like. You lived a very privileged and sheltered life. There's nothing you could tell me about being an African American. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that goes for any Caucasian in general, any white person. You can't tell me a damn thing about being Black. You've never experienced it. And especially like on Twitter and Facebook, there's a lot of white people that just go, your life is not hard and this, that, and the third. I deal with this and I deal with that. No one's sitting here and trying to cry wolf or be like, oh, my life is so hard. I wake up and I'm just hated. Which, even though that is the truth, there's not a lot of Black people like that. A lot of us are just telling you a lot of the time we have to go above and beyond what the average Caucasian person does, simply because we're Black. Sometimes we got to jump over hoops to get in the position that you guys are in. Again, this is not inherently your fault, the person that we're referring to, but for you to pretend like it's not a thing, it's bullshit. It's always been bullshit. Boundaries in parenting is one of the biggest things. There are a lot of people out here that have this idea of, we're going to start here. Me personally, if I ever play that role of a step parent, I'm already not comfortable with like corporal punishment, which, for those that don't know, like whoopings and shit like that, I'm not a fan of them. I've never been a fan of them. Even if I was, like, I ain't with the hitting nobody else kid. There was a TikTok trend going on, actually, where it's like a little kid saying, get out of my bed. And then you hear like him get hit like twice. And people like thought that was the funniest shit ever. And I'm just sitting here like, bro, you don't put your hands on nobody, kids. And people are quick to say, well, if I help raise them and this, then the third, and I'm just like, bro, no. This is exactly like how shit get very, very violent. This is how bad blood gets brewed, because you putting your hands on somebody else's kid. I've always been a firm believer of there's always other ways to punish and discipline your child. It's too many people comfortable with the idea of hitting children. It's way too comfortable among a lot of people. And a lot of people are just like, I don't even think that's the part that bothers me the most. Because, I mean, I got whoopings growing up. I didn't like them. And that's why I'm not doing it for my child. But I got them growing up. I think it's more or less the eagerness that I see from people. Oh, I can't wait to do this. And I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to hit my kid with an extension cord while squirting baby oil on them. Like, people enjoy giving punishment too much. And it gets to the point where, like, I'll side eye you. I'll raise my eyebrows like, oh, you're enjoying the idea of, you know, hitting your children. It's not something I'm about. That's the honest in me. I really wish in general, the boundaries with telling women what to do with their bodies. That's another one. I have this mentality of always telling people this right here. It's your body, it's your choice. And people always try to get me to dive into that, and I'm just like, no, I don't argue with women about anything that pertains to childbirth or anything else, like birth control or anything like that, because it's their body and it's their choice. You have to carry your child for 9 months. Only thing I can do is be here and support you, but I can't, you know what I'm saying, I can't share that pain with you physically. So why would I speak on, why would I give you, you know, my opinion on abortion? Like, I'm neutral. I feel like you need to do what you need to do, whatever your heart dictates when it comes to that. It's your body. There's a lot of people telling, you know, women, oh, how can you do this and you do that? Because it's her body, bro. It just like, can't nobody tell me what I can and can't do with my physical features. Can't nobody, the same way, here's the thing though. The same way, you know what I'm saying, you can't tell her what to do with your body, with her body, right? She can't make you be a dad. Now, it'd be a terrible choice, in my opinion, to step out on the kids. And it may sound hypocritical, and I understand it does, but you always have that option. All in all, there's a lot that's been lost within society and just boundaries of everything else. And you could partially blame social media, but you have to also just understand that times are a lot different and it's a lot more voices to be heard. But that's my take on boundaries. We're going to get into this next segment here. And to end this episode, we're going to just kind of talk about the economy. And of course, we're going to discuss Russia invading Ukraine and my thoughts on everything going on. See you in just a few. So let's talk about the economy and let's kind of dive into what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. Okay, so the biggest thing with the economy now is gas prices are very, very high. They dipped for a bit. They was actually reaching lows, and then now they're back at $3.07. They're at $3 as I'm speaking now. Gas prices are actually at $3.07. Now, a lot of this has to do with, I want to say, people are traveling a lot more now that it's kind of warmed up. And again, I want to stress this really, like, I want to stress this deeply, because if I can inform people on this, I want to continue to inform them, right? Joe Biden is not in control of gas prices. He has no input on that. It's supply and demand. So, for instance, if they're lifting the mandate laws, and more places are more open to you coming in without having the vaccine, people are going to be traveling more, correct? So the gas prices are going to inflate based on supply and demand. It's simple math. A lot of people just don't even really look for the why for a lot of stuff now. It's more or less just a, we see somebody to blame, so we're going to blame them, and it's bullshit. There's also a baby formula shortage going on, and I think that has to do with supply and demand as well. A lot of pandemic babies being born. This is essentially another baby boomer era. A lot of people having kids right now. So those prices are also increasing. My thoughts is just, it's as simple as, like I said, supply and demand. For me, it'll always be a situation where you just give a little more, you have to save better. In reference to what's going on with Russia. So, essentially, I'm not going to give all of the details because we'd be here for hours on that. But I want to kind of condense it and sum it up to what it is. Russia is essentially trying to kind of neutralize some of the NATO, which is basically an alliance that includes the United States and other countries, the NATO alliance, and kind of put them on an even plane. So it started off, and if you just know anything about just politics, world politics and anything like that, you knew where this was going ahead of time, but it was more or less a matter of when. It started off like they were lining up soldiers on the borderline and just doing this and doing that. And they said they were just running a live soldier exercise, but again, you don't line up planes, you don't line up soldiers, you don't line up heavy artillery like tanks just for an exercise, and you don't just randomly do it either. Like, so that happened, and then I want to say 2 days ago, might have been yesterday, but 2 days ago, they actually invaded Ukraine. And Russia essentially has the outlook of, they want to get the old Soviet Union back together, and essentially they look at Ukraine as part of Russia, even though Ukraine claimed their independence. So now they're invading them. They're actually, as I speak, as I am reading the news feed, they are heading to the capital. The goal looks like they're actually going to try to take the president. They're going to try to take the president of Ukraine out, so they can fully take them over. Right now, Ukraine does have a curfew in place everywhere, and they are encouraging citizens to bear arms because it's getting bad. These guys are sending ballistic missiles. They're taking out planes and everything like that. Ukraine is also one of the biggest areas in Europe. This has a lot of implications worldwide. For us, we promised them that we'd protect them, and Russia's basically saying, I mean, if you interfere in what we do here, we're looking at World War III. Why this is bad is because, of course, unlike World War II and World War III, I mean, World War I and World War II, we didn't have nukes. The biggest thing we had was an atomic bomb, and I believe we only used that on Japan. I don't think we used it anywhere else. So, of course, we don't want a nuclear holocaust or anything like that, because these nukes are doing damage. These nukes are wiping out cities easily, like upon impact. And then they bleed over. The radiation is the worst part of this. It's a scary time. The other implications is China and Taiwan. China has wanted to reunite Taiwan with themselves for a very, very long time. With Russia basically saying, hey, I'm going to do this anyway, it could influence the Chinese president to do the same with Taiwan. They've already been kind of harassing them and sending fighter jet planes to fight them. And it's just more or less like, we're facing a situation where the U.S. is doing everything to avoid this war, but, and I think it's going to be the last resort. Right now, I feel like we're more or less into the Cold War stage, where there's a lot of preparation, there's a lot of doing things behind the scenes right now to prepare in the event of war. But right now, the U.S. is only really just trying to place sanctions on Russia to just tell them, all right, stop, you know what I mean? And I had a friend make a very, very interesting point where he was like, if you notice, only communist and capitalist countries fight a lot. The socialist countries kind of stay out the way. Russia is kind of winning. Russia almost got out of that, and then Putin came into office, and the rest is history. I mean, I feel like I don't really know what the U.S. can really do, because you want to protect Ukraine because it's a lot of resources there, but at the same time, do you really want to get into a fight with Russia? Then you also have to deal with China because they're allies. And then you also have to keep your eye on North Korea because they don't like us and they might just bomb us just because they can. And it's just, it's one of those situations where you really have to, this is where, you know, we gonna find out if Biden is really, if he's really the guy for the job. If not, well, you know, we're gonna be in war. And prices definitely soar during war. So it's one of those things where you just kind of have to trust that the powers above have the capability, because if they don't, it's not going to be good for a lot of us. All in all, though, I mean, Russia's probably going to take Ukraine. And I think at that point, it's just going to be more of a, whether or not, what do we want to do? Because if we don't help Ukraine or we don't help Taiwan, what does that say about us to the rest of NATO? That if they're in trouble, we're not going to help them? And then you lose alliances and you sever bonds there. What does it say if you do? You're gambling millions of lives, because these people could just, they can send thousands of nukes out at one time and just rip the United States open. And we can send them back and we can win. I believe we can win. But I think my thing is, at what cost? Is the lemon worth the squeeze? That's the question I always ask when it comes to any decision. Is it worth it? Is beating Russia worth losing 50 to 60% of your population? That's like that's the biggest thing. Time will tell. I mean, that's really what it is. Time will tell. I want to thank you guys for listening. We're gonna continue running this up. We're gonna go ahead and try to get to 1,000 listens this year. Again, I do appreciate you guys for listening today. And my name is CJ Bones, and I'm signing out. Peace.